Let's do this. The Cult of Hockey Podcast, by the faithful and for the faithful. I'm David Staples, and after some heavy-duty work by the Journal's crack online team, we fixed the, whatever it is, we used their Skype audio hijack. We've got the add-on. We figured it all out, and Bruce McCurdy is also here. Welcome,
I'm
Bruce.
Back.
You're back. So, it's the day after a fantastic, gripping hockey game, a 1-0 hockey game. And we're here today to talk about the three stars for the Oilers of the series to date. And the rule, Bruce, is this. If you pick a guy, I can't pick the same guy. So we'll talk about six players in total. All right?
You got all Oilers, right?
Yeah, all Oilers. Yeah. Well, also in the end, we'll end off with one guy who needs to crank it up. And again, the same rule applies. We can't talk about the same player. So why don't you start it off, Bruce? Who is, you don't have to go in order, but three stars. Who is one of your stars?
Oh, well, I think the guy that's grabbed everybody's attention so far in this series has been Zach Cassian. And clearly, he's one of the stars of the series. In fact, he's one of the stars of the entire NHL playoffs, I would say, based on the buzz. And he's been playing out there like a man possessed. He's been playing same kind of third line minutes, you know, 14 minutes a game, 12 in the first game, 14 in the second, 17 last night. I guess I stepped it up a little bit when they switched the lines around. And he's just been bringing it. He's been carrying the puck. He's been shooting the puck. And he's, when he doesn't have the puck on his stick, the San Jose Sharks have got their heads up waiting to see who he's going to nail next, because he's been hammering people left and right with the physical play. Again, just looking at the stats, five hits in the first game, six in the second game, a mere three last night. But when you add in the fact that for the second game in a row, he broke a scoreless tie and scored the winning goal, and, you know, this time a 1-0 game, the other time 2-0 game. I mean, I don't know what more you could hope for to impact the series.
Well, Bruce, he didn't deliver a soul-destroying check against a San Jose player last night. I mean, he was just clearly off his game.
Yeah, he destroyed a few souls all the same. one of the media wags was saying after the second period, when it was 0-0, made a reference to 1984, a famous game in Nassau County Coliseum,
and said,
who's going to be the Kevin McClellan to this game? And in that game, of course, Kevin McClellan scored, I think, 6 minutes into the third period, and Edmonton won 1-0. Well, you know what? I looked it up after the game just for fun. And in 1983-84, Kevin McClellan scored 8 goals, 20 assists, had 127 minutes in penalties. And in 2016-17, Zach Cassian scored 7 goals, 17 assists, and had 101 minutes of penalty. So he's a pretty passable imitation of Kevin McClellan. And some of the role that he plays is actually not all that different.
You know, it's funny because that game was also much on my mind. I thought about it a couple times last night as well. But then I was followed up with a thought was, okay, come on, let's not get ahead of ourselves. That was the Stanley Cup final against the Islanders, right? Against the team that was stopping the Oilers from winning the Cup. So we're a little bit away from that.
It's not quite the same, but there were some similarities.
It was a huge game in the same kind of way. All right, so Cassian, Papa Cass, Baba Yaga, he's your pick. My pick is going to be Ryan Nasty Hopkins. Bruce, he is playing the best two-way hockey of his entire NHL career right now. Every time he gets the puck, making a smart play every single time. And unlike the regular season, when he would take the puck on the offensive end and settle for an outside shot, people wonder about his shooting percentage. They think, oh, maybe he deserves more goals because he's got a low shooting percentage. Well, if you shoot from outside like that all the time, you're going to have a low shooting percentage. He was Patrick O'Sullivan it on his shots all year long. Finally, though, in the playoffs, he's getting the confidence again, and I don't know where it comes from, to burst in there and try to make a great offensive play in the offensive end, holding the puck, looking and picking out the open man. His defensive play, and especially on the penalty kill, has also been, I think, outstanding. He's reading the play well. He's just so sharp out there and fast, shutting down passing lanes, picking off passes, knocking them out of the air. And his scoring chances, plus minus, is by far, after three games, the best on the team. Let me just have a look here. He's plus three scoring chances a game, which is what Connor McDavid was in the regular season. So he's playing at a McDavid-like level right now in terms of his two-way play in the playoffs. Maybe not quite creating quite as many grade A chances as McDavid would in those scoring chances, but he has been sublime.
Yeah, well, five shots in each of the last two games, eight shot attempts. Like, he's been bringing the puck to the net, and his line has been producing not much in the way of goals, mind you, but they've had to play in the right end of the ice a lot of the time. It's not strictly defense. They're playing two-way game, and they're playing the tough minutes and sawing off. I don't have in front of me last night's shift charts, but I know that they were playing against basically San Jose's top line for the majority of the time.
As always, right? That's one thing you could say about RNH's weaker season is he's consistently faced the McDavid line and his line have consistently faced the toughest competition. He's kind of played that, you know, almost third checking line role, his line. So that's something to take into consideration in terms of rating his play through the regular season. But he has been, I think, a different player. All right, so who's your second star, Bruce?
Well, I'm going to go with tried and true and pick netminder Cam Talbot. Hard to fall to goalie that posts back-to-back shutouts and turns a whopping three goals of goal support into two wins, as Talbot has done these last two games. And mind you, he's had a lot of help, not so much on the goal-scoring front, but defensively in front of him. The team limited to San Jose to a total of 39 shots over those two games. This after allowing 44 shots in game one, where Talbot basically almost single-handedly held the Oilers in the game at times. And if not for some pretty rotten puck luck in overtime, they might have stolen away with that game. But he didn't like the goal he let into Melker Carlson, and I guess he's made up for it because they haven't got one since.
I actually was at most amazed with his play in the first game, because he was just peppered with grade A chances in that game. Yeah. And in the last two games, I've only counted a total of five San Jose grade A chances over two games. This is an amazing defense that the Oilers are playing right now. I have to give the team credit for it. This is a team that couldn't defend anyone for 10 years, or at least seven. And suddenly, not suddenly, but over the year, they've gradually gotten better, picking up men in the slot especially, not leaving those slot shots open. And that defense is really clamped down in the defensive end. And fancy that. It's not just a one-man team here, Bruce. It's they've got some defensemen. Suddenly they have some defensemen who can play a little bit.
They do.
And we're going to get to that in a second. So my second pick is one of those defensemen, Oscar Klefbom. And all year long I was attacking the guy for not playing strong defensive hockey, too much gap, not tough enough in the corners, sticking with his man. And when I talk about tough in the corners, I don't mean you have to bowl the guy over or cross-check him to the ice like Adam Larson, his partner, often does. You just have to stay in his way. You have to block his way, and you have to block his passes out to the slot. And Klefbom was not consistently doing that, but he now is. Combine that with his just fantastic puck moving, which we've seen all year long, and it just keeps getting better. And he is playing right now, Bruce, like a real number one NHL defenseman in my books. And wow, is that ever important for the Edmonton Oilers. It's also, it's just amazing. I was so worried that he was going to not be playing well after that, taking that puck to the ankle. I think it was Brent Burns' shot, but he was skating amazingly well and didn't seem to be any worse for the wear.
Yeah, he looked physically pretty okay. I mean, his sights. I still can't believe he missed that empty net on the 3-on-1.
Oh, I couldn't either.
That made for that last 43 seconds. That was That was the one time all night I yelled at my TV. How do you miss
Yeah, I said, you are
that?
an NHL hockey player. You are a paid professional. How can you miss that shot?
Try to go bar down or something. I don't know. Like you put it over the net. Like I don't know how you do that
He
on an
just
empty
got
net.
the jitters. He got
I
jittery, right?
guess.
Like
I
it's that'll
guess.
happen.
Anyway, they survived. If they hadn't survived, if my man Talbot hadn't got a little piece of that deadly accurate Burns wrister through traffic in the dying seconds, and we might have a little. Oscar might not be on the stars list this morning. Let's put it that way. But he's there and he belongs there, man. He's playing good. He's lunching the minutes, and he was right back out there 20, almost 25 minutes last night, same as game one. Of course, game two, he didn't finish the game, but 25 is becoming closer to his regular night's work. He's plays both special teams and a regular shift at evens, and sees lots of the best of the opposition, and he's coming out ahead. So there's little to dislike about Oscar's overall game.
Who is your the last of your stars, the last of the three stars that you're picking?
Well, I'm going to take Oscar's partner, Adam Larsson. As an old goalie, man, do I like this player. We goalies, we don't like marauding attackers on other teams, and neither does Adam Larsson. The other day in my game grades, I called him the Victor the Cleaner of the NHL. I don't know if that name resonates with you. He was a character from a movie called Point of No Return, and
I didn't see that one, no.
His whole stick was that he would he was emo basically emotionless, and he just took care of business and whatever needed doing, which included assassinations or cleaning up of other people's messes, was what Victor the Cleaner did. And
He is the equalizer.
he was the equalizer, and he was. He would just look after. I'm just going to look up and give the actual quote that I read of this guy, which is Victor the Cleaner is an antagonist in the 1993 film Point of No Return. He is portrayed by Harvey Keitel. And the biography says Victor is a professional, emotionless cleaner who never hesitates to eliminate his targets. And I remembered that character from the movie, and I thought, yep, that's the guy. And he just go out and whatever needs to be done, no compunction, bam. And his play is such that, he just makes problems go away. And hitting, that's part of his game is taking the body. But that's only one part. So much of what he does is stuff that'll never show up on any stat sheet, but this is where we stats buffs, you do have to watch the games, and I like to watch the games anyway. That's what started me in all this. And when I watch Adam Larsson, what I see is a guy that'll go into the corner without the puck, and he'll take on the guy, and he'll push and pull around. They'll get a bo his body in the way that he's somehow suddenly between the other guy and the puck. And then he'll turn and just calmly move the puck along, and out of the zone it goes. And he wins so many battles just by scrambling the play, messing up the timing of the attacker, and then dispossessing him, and on and out. And he's been doing plenty of that in this series.
He's been fantastic. All right. You mentioned him being Mr. Cleaner. The True Performance and Analytics company looks when they study players, one of the things they look for in defensemen is defensemen who are cleaners. So they play with a partner who makes a lot of mistakes and they clean up those mistakes.
Right,
And according to
exactly.
their analytics, Larsson was the 12th best cleaner in the NHL this year. So
Oh yeah?
he's right up there in that category.
I'd be interested to see that list.
All right. My final star is Connor McDavid.
Oh, him.
He's yet to break out completely. But he got, after that line shuffle last night, he really got, I thought that was the best even strength hockey he's played. He scored a key shorthanded goal in game two. That's the sec we've seen two goals through the five hole now too. The goalie Jones might have had both of those. McDavid's shot especially, I thought he should have had. Cassian's was harder. It was a backhand shot, and those are always so unpredictable last night, right? Like
hard to read.
Hard to read, but so I don't blame him for that. But McDavid's, I thought, oh, you should have had that.
Both goals in game one went through the five hole too. Four of the five to this point.
Oh, is that right? So there you go. So yeah,
one was a deflection.
Listening to what's the guy in Gregor's show, Woodley, who breaks down goalies. He didn't mention that as a problem that this goalie seems to have, but it has been an issue.
He'll mention it this week.
Anyway, McDavid we expect so much from him, and he's only been really good as opposed to otherworldly good. So, but I thought especially last night he played such a solid, mature two-way game. He was getting off the ice. He was kept keeping his shift short, getting the puck deep, getting off the ice, making strong plays in his own zone. Always dangerous whenever he has the puck. And we've yet to see his A game, which is either bad news or good news. I'm going to take that as good news, Bruce, because when he does play his A game, the Oilers are really going to get rolling. If we can see RNH, McDavid, and Draisaitl all rolling, playing their A games and playing center on their own lines, I personally think that's the best version of the Oilers that there is. And I'm still hoping to see that for a full game in the playoffs. And when we do see that, look out, opposition. All right, so who would you say, Bruce, is on your list for who needs to crank it up? Who needs to, and no picking Desharnais, although you might not because he has played better the last two games, but no picking anyone on the fourth line.
Okay. All right?
You got to pick someone else.
Who's your pick? Yeah, okay. No, I'm not picking Desharnais. I've been happy with this game. I mean, like a lot of Oilers, game one, not good. Game two, pretty good. Game three, very good. He doesn't stand out in any of that sort of way. And the guy I'm going to pick on has made his own contributions, but I think Leon Draisaitl's got more game to give. He's only had, through three games, just one shot on net. And I don't think his offense is clicking. Now, what he's bringing is out of character for him a little bit. This might be part of the issue, or it might just be part of the team approach. But he's been pounding the body. You know, he's had a dozen hits in this series, which is way not his usual game. But when he brings that big body and adds a touch of nasty in it, that's a big load to. But he's not brought onto the team to do necessarily the job of Zach Cassian and Patrick Maroon. His skill game is a big part of what they need. One of the reasons the Oilers aren't scoring is, to this point, Leon himself, 0 points for the series. I'm not sure when was the last time he went three games without a point. So I don't think he's stunk. I just think that he's got another level. And I was fairly pleased with how he played at center last night once they moved him over. A crafty move by McClellan to add a little beef to the center of the ice once Thornton was playing. That kind of changed the mix on the other sides. He responded.
Yeah, Draisaitl has we saw this earlier this year when he plays with McDavid. He has a tendency to, when he gets the puck, to stop attacking with the puck, but to slow it down and look to pass to McDavid, which is a mistake. To play his best hockey, he's got to take the puck deep and try to make a play from deep and push with his feet, try to drive the play himself. And he has this tendency now and then with McDavid to stop doing that. And that's certainly what we saw in the first period. And afterwards, we didn't see it. We saw him trying to make plays. My pick is going to be the pairing of Sekera and Russell. So although I think they've been okay, they've been the most prone of the top two pairings to leak both scoring chances and grade A chances against. And Sekera in particular was strong against the best teams in the West during the regular season, but he's yet to bring his A game in the playoffs. I think he just needs to assert himself a little bit more, get a little sharper. He's a skill player. He's not a physical player. So he's like RNH in that regard. You know, it's not going to be through crushing hits that he does his best play. It's kind of by being super smart and super sharp with his passing and sharp with his reads in the defensive zone. He left the guy, I can think of a couple times where he left people open in the slot, including right late in the game. I can't remember Let me just see if I can find this, Bruce. If it ended in a scoring chance, or if this, I think the San Jose Shark player may have muffed the chance from the slot. We saw that actually quite a bit, them muffing it. So, missing the net. And I think that's what happened on that play. Let me just here, give me 1 second. Go to the old running count of what happened in the game last night. Of course, if they missed, I wouldn't have marked it down.
Right.
Anyway,
it's not a scoring chance.
You can't score if you do not hit the net.
Oh, I'm well aware. You got to do it. You got to set your standard somewhere, and you got to set it the same way at both ends of the ice, or else your results are gibberish.
Well, that's it. I think some people, if an Oiler defender stops a scoring chance at the last second, or does something to alter the shot and they miss the net, people are cool with that. But if an Oiler goes in and misses it on a grade A chance, I think that should be counted as a scoring chance, because he came so close to scoring. Well, you know, you got to hit the net. So the play I'm talking about was 6:22 in the third period left, 6:22 left.
Ooh.
Sekera. Ward got off a great shot right in tight there.
Oh, right. Yes.
Draisaitl and Russell were beat behind the net by Yannick Hansen on the pass out. And Sekera just was not on Joel Ward in the slot. And he had just a great scoring chance. And I've seen that a little too often from Sekera. At this point, he's got to be on those guys. He usually is. So he's my pick for the guy who needs to crank it up at this point.
Well, Sakura, he's got 8 giveaways in the series, which, without doing all the math on all the players, I think that's probably the most on the team. Mind you, he probably has the puck among the most times if you count all the touches. What in his favor and Russell's favor, 14 clean minutes on the penalty kill. And that's been a huge part of the Oilers to this point.
They have not been terrible, Bruce. I'm saying they've been average. Yeah, I'm saying they've been average and need to ramp it up, crank it up, and they're both capable of doing so. And I expect to see that. Hey, your movie reference to Larson got me thinking about another one. Another Mr. Clean. And so in Pulp Fiction, there was the Harvey Keitel character, the wolf. Remember, after there was some horrible screw up, the wolf would come in very clinically, all business. Don't screw around. Don't mess with the wolf. And he would clean it up. And that Adam, the wolf, Larson. And with that, Bruce, we've been at it a while here. So let's sign off now. So, thanks for talking. It was good to talk to you, Bruce. I missed not having you on the. I had to go it alone, babble on.
I heard that.
So,
and I enjoy the conversation. Frankly, I think that tone works best.
Thanks for the little criticism there of my solo podcast, but I completely agree with you. All right.
Not meant as the criticism.
Oh yeah. Okay. Sure. Yeah. Staples. He's the one who needs to crank it up. Is what you're trying to in this series. All right. In the meantime, and in between time, this has been another edition of the Cult of Hockey podcast. Thanks, Bruce, and thanks for everyone for listening.